Good morning. It's been really good to be back here again. And it was really good to welcome some of the youth and the leaders last year in our church in Kathmandu from Liberty Church. And we had a fantastic time. Last year, this time, my wife was here with me, our daughter as well. And she preached last year. And I think she did well, so I'm here. But I'm not sure what happens after my preaching today. But it's really great to be back and to meet you and to share how the Lord is doing there and some of the hearts that God has given me some word to share with you this morning. If I introduce properly myself, it takes 20 minutes. So, but you know me, most of you, so I'm not going to do that. But I can tell one joke. Kind of, yeah. Because we need a little bit happy. You have sacrificed your sleep this morning. Maybe you haven't eaten your breakfast. One army major, he was just newly married. And, armies are a little bit strong character. They don't want to compromise. They don't want everything to be done exactly what they said. And he went to his mother-in-law's house. And as he was sitting in the lounge, and his wife and mother-in-law went to the kitchen to make some drinks for him. But the little dog didn't know him. So he started to bark at him. And he got annoying the dog. And he tried to calm down the dog, but dog kept barking. And he just put his hand on and he says, "Attention." And the little dog, even excited, and he kept barking. He said, "One, attention, two." And the dog didn't stop, so he and the poor dog dead. And hearing that gunshot, his mother-in-law came. And she said, "What happened? What happened?" And he said, "Oh, the dog, I gave him a warning, he didn't stop barking, so I shot him." And the mother-in-law said, "Oh, you are so cruel, you are so murderer, how you could do that?" And he said, "Tell someone." I don't know after that, but anyway. This year God has been very graceful to us, and we could do many things in Nepal, and He has been blessing us. This is our church called Anandit. I have leaflets in my room over there, but and this year we could build a training, and also we are building a prayer room and library. And we have stayed at the hall. And similarly, we started a church planting as well, even outside Kathmandu. And microfinance, as you know, Peter Hopkinson is helping through the Link International. And 115 families are doing some kind of business. Just before I came, we could baptize 11 people. Every year we are having around 25 people to get baptized in our church. And God is amazing, working, and then my wife has been very involved in the women ministry, visiting different parts of Nepal, preaching and talking, but now she had to take a rest, and she's taking a rest, and she's 4 months pregnant, just over 4 months, and God has blessed us through that as well. I was praying for the church in Nepal and in the UK, and I was thinking, God, what really do you want me to share for the church? That I can say. And as I was praying for your church, I saw a clean new bottle, totally empty. And I asked the Lord what it meant. And I felt that God is going to fill the church, people, with a new wine, and a new joy. But the lid was still tight there. So as you open the lid, the new wine will be poured. So maybe God is going to pour some wine, you have a spirit of joy in your life, in your fellowship. And similarly, I was praying for the UK, and I saw the two things, difference, the similar things that we need to pray for this nation. For UK, if they pray for the family. I felt the Satan is really attacking the family in the UK. But in Nepal, the Christian leader is adapting. Because the Satan thinks, if he finishes the family, he finishes the church, if you finish the leaders, you finish the church, you know. So I feel that in Nepal, there's a sense of competitiveness among the leaders, people's pride, and similarly, as the church started to bless, and there's a lot of temptation comes as well. And I found that a difference, the similarities, the Satan has a different strategy to destroy the church. And we need to check our ground, and it's the time that we should refrain for the family and for the leaders. It is quite a challenge for me to preach in the English church. Because many of you have been to Sunday school, and I have actually, I read in a paper, every British family has a pile of four Bibles in their house. You must have read all. So you know better than me. But this morning I just felt that God is saying a few things to me. And also, I was reading this Word of Today, and which is quite massive for my what I saw as I was praying, and also what I'm going to preach. So I'll read later on the verse for today as well, from this one. But this morning, I'm going to read from 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 18 to 21. The title I gave is Growing in God. You know, just believing is not enough. Baptizing, taking Holy Communion, it's not enough. Every day we have to live the life that Jesus gave us the example. So that's what it's all about. For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in His steps. Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being relieved, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds, you were healed, for you were continually stirring like sheep. But now you have returned to the shepherd, the guardian of your souls. It's the 1 Peter 2:21 to, sorry, 18 to 21, I read, sorry, 21 to 25, I just said. I'm supposed to read from 18, but it's okay. I just said from the 21. Thank you. So here, the one particular verse I like, it says, 21, for you have been called for this purpose since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example. Christ left the example for us how we should be. And it says to follow in His steps. So being a Christian is to follow His steps every day, to walk the same step that Christ walked, or Christ lived. So, what sort of examples he left here for us? And he said that he was humble. He was submissive to the Father. He could do anything with the power and authority he was given. He could do that, but he didn't use that. He didn't misuse that. But he did everything what glorified to his Father. He didn't seek his own pride, or he didn't seek his own will. But every time, whatever he did, he listened to the Father, and he did what he's for in the world. And he was ready to bear the pain and suffering for the world and for the humankind, for us, and he took the persecution for us, and he was so forgiving to others. As you see, he was forgiving even when he was dying on the cross. He asked the Father to forgive those who were killing him in a way. So, He loved so much to us, and he died to prove that for us, how much he loved us. So he showed some of the example for us how we should live and how we should grow. You know, to grow in God, we should follow his step. And if we stop growing, we start dying. Someone said that. So every day we need to grow in God. Every day we have a choice whether we follow him or whether we follow our own interests or flesh or the spirit. So to become a Christian means to be like Jesus. Is that true?
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah.
You agree with me?
Yeah.
And if we are being like Jesus, you know, we can't just sit. Jesus, you know, didn't spend time doing nothing. You know, he was healing people. He was miracles taking place. He was feeding people. He was giving them hope. He was teaching them. So to be like Jesus, you know, we should be doing something for the kingdom. If we are representing the little Jesus, being a little Jesus to the community, you know, we are all to do what he has been doing. But the problem in the world is like many people like to be like other Christian. Just like other Christian who preaches very powerfully or who does this in a great sort of feeling crusade. And people actually would like to be like a person. But God has given us maybe separate agenda, separate, you know, subjects. A separate reason he wants to glorify through us. It was really good to see some of our brothers and sisters working in Thailand. You know, that's really brings the glory of God. But some people may have other, you know, vision to serve people in a different way. But sometimes we attempt to be like others and we fail because we don't know our calling. So we should know our calling. So for that, we should follow his steps and then we will start to grow in him. The second is, learn from him. Learn from Jesus. I just like to read from this UCB, this morning devotion. Probably much better than what I said. It both actually relates, you know, to learn from him and what I saw, the praying for the leaders. It says, protect your spirituality in the title. And it says, Satan uses two strategies. First, he will defy the Most High. Satan will attack God's plan, God's principle, and God's people. So be on guard. Second, he will oppress the people of the Most High. Weariness is a weapon Satan will use against you. When you are worn out, you are vulnerable. At that point, temptation can lead to compromise. Compromise to indulgence and indulgence to defeat. Make no provision for the flesh. Don't give Satan an inch or he will take a mile. Your mind is where the real attack takes place. The Bible wants you to be careful, lest you become weary and faint in your mind. Hebrews 12:10. Satan will wear you down in order to wipe you out. So you must take time to replenish your spirit in God's presence. It is easy to get caught up in the work of the Lord and not spend time with the Lord of the world. Jesus said, are you tired, worn out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you will recover your life. I will show you how to take a real rest. Work with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you will learn to live. Matthew 11:28. When you commit yourself doing God's will, God's way, in God's system, you don't wear out. You are fulfilled. You stay in balance and you overcome the stress and anxiety of this world. And that's how God wants you to live. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 20 to 30, you know, all who are weighing heavily to come to me. And he said, learn from me because I'm humble. And you don't find the rest for your soul. In our church, we have some students from the Bible College. And some come from the North India, where the Nepalese speaking, you know, they come to Kathmandu. And we have them in our church. We help them, and also we lead them as well. And they've been fantastic in a group. But often we ask, what do you want to do after these 3 years? And they say, oh, I want to study again. Okay, and then again, you know, they want to go to the US or the Europe or other country. And they really like the degree. You know, they want to show that thing. And there is a, you know, once Roger was preaching in Nepal from Iktas, he said, we are like a new driver. Driving, you know, we are learning like a new driving in lessons. We put L. And the difference is, when you finish driving test, you don't put that L in your car anymore. But as a Christian, we never take that L from our life, because we are always learning. Always learning. That's true, actually, isn't it? Because we are learning from our children. Actually, when I became a dad 7 years ago, and I come to know how much God loves me, before I knew that God loves me, but until I became a father, I didn't know what that meant. Real. So, I've been more close to God. So, I learned from my little daughter. So, there are many streams now, many, you know, principles, many books have been written, many preachers. We should learn from them. But not all books and not all preaching may be helpful to us. We should learn to filter as well. And in the Bible it says, you know, test and weigh whether it is according to scripture, whether it's Trinitarian, or whether it's just rest for your soul or not. So to learn from our Master himself, from Jesus, is the greatest thing. Because he is our teacher. In John 14, he is our mediator, he is our teacher, he is our reminder. The Holy Spirit, when he comes, he helps us. We give the power, and we receive the power. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you receive the power, and we will receive that. And he will teach us. So, I mean, we should learn from the people, from the books, from the, you know, different colleges and training centers or whatever. But the most priority that we should learn from Jesus every day, as you walk in his step, we start to learn from him. So, as this book said, you know, we will find the rest for our soul. Because he says, I'm gentle and I'm humble. It is really good to learn from the humble person, because character is the most important. People don't look at how big degree we have got in the church, because in the church you can find all kinds of people, you know. I read one place that, you know, it was just like Noah's Ark. You know, Noah spent almost a year with these animals in the church. You know, when you are in the church, it's just like an experience. It's not very hard. So we must learn from the people as well as from the Lord, especially. So there's a many style of worship and praying and teaching and serving the Lord, which all helps, but the most important thing is that we should learn from the Lord, our Father, what Jesus would do. I like that. In a WWJD one, what Jesus would do. In Nepal, still, churches are debating whether women should be, you know, in the pulpit or not. The pulpit is so precious. A piece of wood is so precious for people rather than a person. Naturally, I wrote one article, you know, is God really with the pulpit or with the person? So Jesus, you know, what would Jesus do if he saw a woman preaching, woman teaching? I know Pharisees won't be happy, but Jesus definitely would be proud to see his daughter. I would be really proud if my daughter is telling something to Jesus, about Jesus to somebody. So, to learn from his is to grow in his character. Right, the first thing is listen to Him. I found that God speaks in a different people with a different level. In Nepal, still many people are illiterate. They don't know how to read the Bible. So through this scripture, it may be very hard for them to understand things. But it's amazing when they share the testimony how the Lord worked in their life. Just 3 months ago, I had a special vision kind of saying, let your church people to speak. And then after that, we started at least 2 people to say something, how the Lord did bless them. And one woman, she said, a man with the white clothes appeared in our dream, and he said, daughter, don't be worried if you cannot go too much in the, in the fellowship. But see, through your service, only the 12 people, you saved the 12 people. And she walks up at night, and then she comes, who became a Christian. And she found the 12 people of the relatives, So she was, instead of preaching, she was actually helping them. Because the most of the people were so ill, they came to Kathmandu, and she was taking them to the hospital and buying the medicine and just looking after them. So that character actually helped. And she listened to that, and she was really thankful that she's no more worried that she cannot read or she cannot go to the morning and fellowship, because she has 2 children and husband is working in Korea. And she said at the same time, the another day, again, the same person appears and says, you are going to welcome foreigners. And she's really surprised, She doesn't know how to read and write, and foreigners. I'm her little, rented room. And tomorrow morning, husband calls from Korea and says, some Korean pastors are coming to Nepal, and they are coming straight from the airport to our house. And I'm sending something, And one lady who is a labor at all, she cannot hear much. She can't hear much. But one day, as she was sitting, she saw something drop on the well. In Nepal we have the well water. It's a monsoon, so we have a lot of water there in the well. And she heard something was dropping that time. And she went and she found this 2.5-year-old boy was coming and going down. And she started to pray, oh Lord, save him. And she cried out, and other people came, another Christian lady also came, and they prayed. And they give the bucket down there. And the boy had his shoes in his hand, and he doesn't want to lose that shoe, because he liked that shoe, But he was going, coming, and it was just like a plane. And finally, they were crying and praying, and other people also don't know what to do. And he catches the bucket and he comes out. He's absolutely fine. This 1 week ago, he was in our church and we were praying for him, And before I came again, they were in the church. And that day, she just hears that. And it's been quite a testimony. So, as we start to speak the testimony, and you can see a lot of work is going around, and God is really working through the people in their dreams, in their visions, and in a different way. So it's a testimony, it's very powerful. So we should tell people, The best way to communicate and to evangelize is just to share your testimony. What God has done to you. It just goes around very quickly. People doesn't like preaching. You don't like preaching. I should be making sort. And also, in the book of Revelation, in chapter 2 and 3, to all the 7 churches, there is one command is given to tell, to John, he said, let them hear who has an ear, what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit says to the churches. So it is very important to listen. If you have your eyes, just listen. What he's saying to you for this very moment, for this situation, for this church. I often used to read this, it's only for those 7 churches. What is mentioned there? Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Rubbish, yeah. But actually it was not said to the building. It was said to the church of that hidden persons who were in the church. So it is quite important for us to listen directly from him. So today, God really loves when we come cooperatively and we praise together, worship together. God loves that. But at the same time, God is our best friend. If your best friend said to you, okay, I'll meet you, but only with the group. Is he not your best friend, is he? He's not your friend. He can be in your Facebook. he may be your Facebook friend, but not there, you know. But best friend wants to spend time with you. He wants to listen to you. He wants to really have a conversation. And Jesus is like that. And at the same time, if we meet the best friend and if we share what happened and, you know, what's going through, and if you walk, your best friend may think that you are crazy. The first thing we should allow is speak. You know. If you are here with the best friend, you let them to speak as well. Otherwise you lose friend very quickly. So if we start to listen and God will start our ear and we will have a better understanding and we will know Him more clearly. So the important, you know, this listening is very important. Similarly, in John 5:30, Jesus said, you know, I will hear my Father and I will do. That's why my things are just. Many times we do without hearing God's confirmation or God's, you know, what He's saying for our, for example, business or for job or family, we get trouble. But if we listen to Him first, He will guide us. He will direct us. So these two verses, I mean, you know, so just how important it is to listen, because Jesus Himself said, I will not think without hearing the Father. And if we are hearing the word glorify Him, then our job is to listen to Him. So first was to follow His steps, and second, to learn from Him, and the third is to listen to Him. And just a little bit about this listening. As I was coming from the plane this time with the Gulf Air, and there was an announcement made before we flew, because it was a monsoon, the sky wasn't clear, and he said there will be some turbulence up to the Pakistan. So I knew that when the plane starts to shake, what I need to do is pray. But near my seat, in the left side, there was another man, and I don't know whether he had an English, you know, language or not, and he even don't know whether he just came, he was relaxed so much. But as the plane started to shake, you know, he was more fighting. I can see him that. Because I heard and I understand, that's why I know what we expect. But he didn't know. Maybe he didn't hear. I mean, and even he didn't, you know, try to ask. So he was in fear. And it's a similar way, in a way we lost the connection with our Father, with our Lord. And when the fear grows in our hearts, what's going to happen next? Well, at the plane you can't know, and you can't do much, but when you hear already the announcement, and that helped me to calm myself, to comfort myself. And similarly, when we hear the Father in our life, and whatever trouble comes in our life, and we know He's in control, He's there to help us and to protect us. So, it's important to listen and to understand and to do. And I asked that man, I said, we were expected to have this trouble, so don't worry. And he was a bit relaxed after that. When Peter was in prison, the church were praying for him. And, you know, the chain broke off and he comes out from that. Similarly, if we also have the church behind us to pray. In Nepal, many times, whatever we are doing, we ask the church to pray, you know. We don't feel shame to ask. And we feel very good results. I found in the way people are a little bit easier to tell the church what they want to pray for. But if we pray, if we listen, if we trust in Him, He never let us be down. And as we were singing this morning, you know, we should raise up our eyes and our heads to the Father. So, I hope you'll be blessed. And may God bless you. Thank you.